For over 2 years now, MJ and Ryan have been doing a cosplay podcast where they semi-consistently discuss their experiences at conventions and the craftsmanship that goes into their outfits. These reviews are often winded in their discourse, but will always end in a numerical rating and a network plug within about a two-hour span from the start of the recording. Today, however, is a special occasion, as they are about to attempt the impossible, discussing one day of a convention within 1 hour. Let's embark on the journey with them. The journey to sub 60 minutes.
Well, good evening, dear.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I guess I am taking over today because you were the one that got to go to GotaCon.
I did get to go to GotaCon 2025 without you.
Indeed. I actually do wish that I could have gone. It's just like inopportune timing and we weren't going to debut anything. No. And so that would have felt a little, I don't know, a bit of a downgrade from last year where we debuted a lot.
Did we debut a lot? I debuted Leafeon poorly.
We used Kineticon to workshop things, and then we used Otakon to actually debut them.
That's fair.
Yeah, like, I think that Otakon is where we first did Achilles and Patroclus properly.
Yes, because I broke my spear at Kineticon.
Yes, that's right. Upon my pressure, you did break your spear at Kineticon. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, swing it! Swing it!
Give it a whirl.
Give it a good old whirl.
Cracked in half.
Cracked in a way that was basically irreparable. So that's a...
You were genuinely surprised by it.
I thought if it was going to break, it'd break somewhere else. But hey, man, you know, I guess that's what you learn. You live and learn.
We did learn.
The other thing that I learned from Kineticon last year was that just because our house is close by doesn't mean that it's accessible to fix things. Because, like, you know, if I had some of my tools, like, nearby or accessible, I could have fixed it. But the second that we got home, or the second that I, like, took the stuff and we went home, we weren't coming back.
Yeah, because we had to pay for parking, and it was a bitch to get in and out of the inner city in our cars.
Yeah, just holy. So, you did get to go to Otakon this year, and I figured we mentioned on the Kineticon review, we would talk a little bit about what your experience was like.
The Kineticon review of our podcast. Welcome to our podcast, Cosplay Con.
Oh shoot! I keep forgetting I have to do that. That's so nuts. This is
our third time recording of this episode.
Yeah, because I
keep every time Ryan forgets to say welcome to Cosplay Con Crunch.
And I'm like, oh man, we just started. I think we gotta run it back so that I can intro it. But I think we're just gonna have to run with it again.
Oh, God. Welcome to Cosplay Con Crunch, a podcast about two cosplayers who go to cons, sometimes together, this one time by their individual self. I am the individual self today. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok as cosplay_Cajun. I'm MJ, motherfuckers.
Holy shit, okay. Well, I'm RightJoyConRye. You can find me on Instagram there, or you can follow our podcast as cosplay, I think, _ConCrunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was easy to remember, because it felt the same one.
The cosplay Cajun. Yeah.
Cosplay_Cajun.
Yeah, so I think that the big thing that we can talk about today is, I guess, what your experience was like commuting to a convention as opposed to having a hotel.
Because
normally we have at least like a home base when we go to a convention, and then that sort of allows us to get ready there.
Well, we normally have a home base that's within 30 minutes of the convention. Like, we went to RICC with Mochipi, and Mochipi's apartment was literally across, like, the street, which is still the funniest video I've ever received in my Discord before.
Oh, it's so funny, because
I will get their permission to share it on our Instagram, because I love that video so much.
Yeah, we had reached out to Mochipi, and basically, Mochipi,
yes.
Yes,
I can't wait for her.
Keep on saying it wrong. I'm gonna fix it.
I can't wait for her to reach out and actually be like, no, it's a different pronunciation. But yes, Mochipi. Mochipi is a friend of mine from high school and middle school. We had just reconnected with her like a couple months before, after my sister had come to visit, because my sister is very close with her older sibling as well.
She had like just started getting back into going to conventions, and we were workshopping the idea of going back into conventions. You, at least, this would be like one of my first.
It was your first.
Yeah.
So I had texted her and been like, hey, like, we're gonna go to this. Do you think your parents are cool with like letting us like come by and say hi. Mocha Pie was like, hey, what con are you thinking about going? And I'm like, oh, it's called like Rhode Island Comic Con. It's like across from the Provincial Center or whatever. A mall built by the mob.
Yeah. In fact, I love just throwing around.
I love that.
The mob mall.
I love how much Mocha Pie loves throwing that around.
Yeah. And she's just like,
I need everyone to know that Mocha Pie is like, if they haven't seen them in our pictures to scale, Mocha Pie is maybe 5'1 if they stand up straight. Like maybe 100 pounds soaking wet with like bright blonde hair, whose two biggest idols are these two lesbians from a phone game and Pitbull.
And Pitbull. I like how the two lesbians are one.
Yeah.
And then Pitbull. Also Pitbull.
And then also
Pitbull came later, though. No, but what was funny is that when MJ reached out and said, hey, would you be okay with seeing us or like whatever if we were in the area for this con? She basically said, oh, cool. This? And she takes a video.
She tried
with her
to
phone.
Explain it to me. She tried to text it to me. It like explain where her hotel, like where her apartment was.
Yeah.
And I was like, honey, you're not making sense.
And so then she just sent you like a video, right? And the video was, this zooms in on the phone is where the con is, and this is my apartment.
Yeah, she turns around. I don't even think she zooms in. She points. She's like, see that building right there on the corner? That's the convention center. And then she turns around and she goes, and that's where my apartment is.
From that, she basically offered for us to stay with her. And I think that was our introduction to staying over and going to a convention multiple days. Now, this is probably the exact opposite of that.
Yes.
Because it's going to a convention for one day, just commuting to it, not just like a medium commute. I mean, we did the math. You took like what? How long was it to get there?
It was, because of the times that I was driving, it was 3 hours even round trip.
Okay.
But that is solely because of what time I was driving. So let me break it down for you, darlings. Ryan left on a Thursday. And on Wednesday is when all of my lovely, lovely friends on Instagram started posting about Otakon.
And like their Otakon like cosplay plans.
And there are two people specifically that I'm going to shout out that made me genuinely, genuinely want to go to Oda to see. They are, of course, Mocha Pie. Because Mocha Pie had done this great Fire Emblem cosplay that she built herself in like a week. She finally crunched.
And like, I remember her reaching out and being like, I don't love this, but it did come together.
It did work. It did work. And then the other one is Shota Prince, who was doing a whooper group.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There were six whoopers. Two of them were brown.
Oh.
It's
still whooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still just a whooper. It's just like, I think...
And I think they had one shiny.
Not Alolan. Hisuian? Hisuian whooper?
And Shota's probably going to correct me on how many people were actually in that group, and it might have been more. But one person made all of the jumpsuits.
Did you get a picture with all the whoopers?
I did not get a picture with all of the whoopers, but I did get a picture with some of the whoopers.
Oh, man. Oh, so you take the whoopers to a convention, they all just disperse.
I was trying to leave.
Oh.
Was the problem.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like every time that I've had an opportunity to interact with them specifically, I always have something else happen, and then I can't. But I'm glad that you got to spend more time with them.
They also recently outed themselves and said that they are not a whooper stand, they are a Cyndaquil stand.
Oh, that's... You can coexist.
Can we?
It's not like whoopers are a starter.
Whooper is not a starter, but they...
Yeah, so you can like Cyndaquil.
Okay, so I'm going to shout out the person that made all of the whoopers. Their Instagram is Hop is my hero. Go them. They looked phenomenal. I did only get a picture with them and Shota again on Instagram is iFangSan. So I will repost one of those pictures on our con podcast Instagram because I love them. And I can actually tag both of them because I didn't follow iHop. Or Hop is my hero.
Do you know what else is for... Yeah, no, that's really good. And I'm glad that you will definitely credit them in the podcast. But now that we're talking... Hold on, I'm sorry. Before we continue... Game Freak really upsets me because something came out recently where Game Freak had worked on another game, and a Limoncello Clown had sent this to me, where it was like Game Freak's like B team, like not the Pokemon people, but like their B team had worked on some non-Nintendo computer game.
Oh, it's the horror game.
Yeah, the horror game. And it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
So I know these motherfuckers can make good stuff. They're choosing to give us shit Pokemon games.
Well, maybe it's just their A-team can't.
I don't know. I think genuinely that they had like a mindset that was built for mobile, right? Like the DS and the 3DS. And then once they got the first Switch, which had like decent like power, they didn't know what to do with the significant upgrade in computational like capacity. And so they were just like, take the 3DS models of every Pokemon that we've made and just port them from X and Y to, what was that, Sword and Shield, I think was the first game that came out on the Switch. That pissed me off.
This has been Ryan's Pokemon rant corner.
No, it's just, it's so frustrating because when Pokemon ZA comes out, that's what I'm going to call it, it's like ZA. Pokemon.
That's how I would say that. I would say that as ZA.
Pokemon ZA, you know, ZA. A little bit of Kush in the Pokemon. It takes place, not
Did
in a world.
Did you know base comes from cocaine?
What?
The term based, it comes free basting. Free base.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, anyways, no.
But listen, this is just going to be a plug because I had to drive 6 hours round trip. So I got to listen to a lot of Behind the Bastards. Go listen to Hood Politics with Prop. They're great. I love that show. I also love Behind the Bastards.
I think it's a good show. I really like, I catch like glimpses of it when we're in the car together, but it does.
I'm cooking.
It certainly makes me depressed to listen to, though. And not, I haven't tried Hood Politics.
Lawrence of Arabia. Go listen to the Lawrence of Arabia episodes. Those are fun.
On Behind the Bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, good podcast, very informational. But all I'm left with afterwards is this feeling of like, wow, these powerful people, they certainly are bastards. And I'm like, well, what do I do with that? I already dislike people in authority figures. Like authority
listen
figures
to their Christmas
general.
Specials, then.
Are they nice?
Yeah, they highlight a great person in all of history.
So once a year, they make content that I can enjoy.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks, MJ. Moving on, can you run
us
through what the...
So you were going home to visit family for your birthday, and I just couldn't get the time off to go with you. I'm mostly working at 9-to-5 at the moment, so like come weekends, I'm free, and I can leave a certain radius. So
this was within radius.
This was in radius, and so you were kind of like looking at me, and you're like, eh...
I feel bad that you got nothing to do this week. You wanted to hang out with one of our other friends.
I did want to hang out with one of our other friends. If y'all remember Best Bud, make not come back. Best Bud lives just outside of DC. I was trying to sync up with him. He was busy. I got sad. But I kept seeing all of my friends post about Otakon. And I was like, all right. So I ran an Instagram poll and I was like, should I just drop into Oda? And the like vast majority of people were like, yeah, do it.
Just do it.
So I did. I bought a ticket while at work. I dropped you off. And then I...
How much was just a one day? Like a Saturday ticket?
I think it was like $60 or $70. Okay. It was not cheap.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of upset about how expensive it was.
That makes sense, I guess. It's a Saturday ticket.
It's a Saturday ticket, and I bought it literally 2 days before Saturday.
Yeah.
So that meant I spent all of Friday rushing to unpack boxes.
So that you could find the Leafeon cosplay so that you could go. Because
and
I remember getting texts about this.
Motherfucker, the crash out I had. Okay, so Ryan and I, to sell the house, had packed up some of our stuff. Some of our more, like, personalized stuff. Like, all of our art, all of our cosplays. And put them in, like, our own boxes. So that way, when people came to tour the house, which we finally sold since the last episode...
I know, right?
Oh, it's so relieving. It feels so good to not own property at this moment in time.
Well, I think, no, I like the idea of owning property. I just, the idea here was that we don't even live anywhere close to where our property was, and we're not, like, particularly going back.
Yeah, there's
so.
Not a lot of naval bases in Connecticut, and I don't like the cold.
Yeah.
So we had put some boxes away, and I labeled them very distinctly what was in each of them. And I started unpacking all of our cosplays, and I started hanging them up and making sure they were clean and doing all the things that you're supposed to do when you unpack things. And I was losing my fucking mind. I was losing my fucking mind because I could not find very specific items of very specific cosplays. But I was out of boxes. I was out of boxes that we had packed. And I was like, I fucking know there are more boxes, namely because I haven't found Shanks, I haven't found Odette, and I haven't found Mihawk. So, and either I'm losing my goddamn mind... I lost my shit, or they lost my shit, and I don't know what the answer was, but I finally go into the room that we have designated as the craft room, and there are these tall boxes still left, and I was like, fuck it. It's labeled weird. I'm going to crack them open.
Yeah, because they never labeled any of these, like, properly.
And these goddamn motherfuckers. These goddamn motherfuckers put the boxes we had packed into a bigger box at the weirdest fucking angles and packed them on top of each other.
You serious? So yes. It's just a box of boxes?
It's a box of boxes. But the problem was the box of boxes held all my cosplay shit. So I was losing my mind trying to find my Leafeon wig and ears for like 2 hours.
This was when on Friday?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I finally found them. Crash out was saved. I had all my Leafeon.
I can tell you the thought process too. I know that when you were like looking for them ears, you were like, if I don't find those ears, I can't wear this cosplay because people only recognize me with the goddamn ears.
They do. And that's fine. I get it.
Sometimes like, there's just one thing that makes a cosplay, you know?
But like, yeah.
Like for Trunks, it's like that little sword, you know?
No one recognizes. Everyone calls me Android 18 if yeah, I don't have a sword.
I know, and it pisses me off, bro. You don't even have like the same, like, I guess she wears denim.
She wears a denim crop jacket, or vest, yeah. A denim crop vest.
Right. I don't know what to tell you, man. Anyways.
Everyone recognizes Mihawk without the sword.
Yeah, that's fair. It's distinct enough. Especially since you have the contacts in, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I did realize one rough thing about the Leafeon cosplay.
What was that, dear?
I kind of have to remake the whole thing.
Oh!
Because after wearing it for a full day, I had bruises on my ribs and bruises where, like, my thighs meet because of chafing and the top being too tight. So I think I'm going to go back, kind of hit the drawing board, and make it more... probably ranger druid-esque rather than like the belly dancer-esque that it is now.
That makes sense. As long as you have the ears, people will know what you are.
Ears green and brown, that's all I gotta be.
And Mocha Pie helped me decide what cosplay to be with the help of Lemon Joe Crown and a couple other friends. And the big design factor is, if you thought it was hot here, it was fucking miserable in DC.
It's crazy. The two cons that are in like that like DMV area, one is Katsu and it's in like the blistering cold of February. And I guess Otakon in the blistering heat of August. I guess they're
the true dichotomy.
They're 6 months apart, but damn, they'd be better as winter or like fall and spring cons, I think.
Like Katsu in April and
yeah, Oda and then Oda in like October. Yeah, dude, that'd be nice. Oh well.
There's a different OctoberCon that we're going to try and go to.
We are, yeah.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So we're there. So I decided to go. But that means that I have to be at the con pretty early to get my badge. So the con opens at 10. And I'm like shooting to get there by like 9:30 to be able... Because the line for badge pickup at OdaCon is fucking egregious on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt.
We saw it last year, and it wrapped around the building like twice.
And we didn't have to worry about it last year.
Because we got there Friday.
Exactly.
Super late on Friday, which was our mistake.
I thought that was better, because then we got them pretty quick.
It was, but what we learned is we have to show up Thursday.
Yeah, that's true, because we got to do nothing on Friday.
Yeah, well, because we didn't get there until like 5 p.m.
That's why I felt bad about like our Achilles and Patroclus, because we got to wear it for, what, like 45 minutes?
Yeah, and then we had to turn around and change into Odette and Daniel for the formal.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we get there. We are vibing. I'm vibing. So I go to bed at like 9 p.m. on Friday night, and I wake up at 4:45 in the morning.
Oof.
To do all of my makeup and then get on the Leafeon top, and then I wear sweatpants and have the skirt ready.
Nice. So the wig, nothing else was on.
I have my wig cap on, but I did not have my wig on because the wig has like the ears kind of inserted into it.
I love the idea of getting pulled over, but like in
Virginia
still. I
had to stop to pee.
Oh, nice.
And I had like a hoodie on that like covered my entire face because I'm like, if anyone makes eye contact with me, I look fucking insane.
Yeah, like not sickly because you're green, but like something.
Well, it's also because it's just like a green band.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if the clerk makes eye contact with me, it will be bad for me.
Yeah.
So I drive for 3 hours, I listen to a lot of music, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I get there, I park, and you find me a parking spot.
Yeah, I use Spot Hero. I like Spot Hero. It generally works. I know that it don't work every single time, but every time I've used it, it has worked okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they take a little percentage of it, but I don't give a shit, man.
It's also normally cheaper than paying on site.
Yeah.
If one guarantees you a spot, too, it's a bit cheaper to pay ahead.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah. So I get into the parking garage, I pull on my skirt, I pull off my sweatpants, I put on my wig, And I start walking, and I make it outside of the parking garage before a very kind, older gay gentleman stops me and goes, "You're a Pokemon, right?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm Leafeon." And he goes, "I have a friend who just adores the Eevees. That's what they're called, right? The Eevees?" And I'm like, "Yes, they're called Eevees. The evolutions, if you will." And he's like, "Can I take a picture of you? You look phenomenal." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And so I do. He was very sweet and very kind. And then I keep walking, and man, do I have to pee. I have drank so much liquid to stay awake and, like, get going in this morning, and it's been 3 hours, and I've peed twice. Like, in the 4 hours since I've, 5 hours since I've been up, because I get up at 4 hours? 4 hours.
So 4:45.
4:45 to 9:15, so 4.5.
Yeah.
So I gotta pee. And so I'm rushing to get into this convention center, and I, like, finally get in. I almost pee my pants. I get in. I get my badge, I go to the bathroom, and I text Mocha Pie, and she tells me that they are running a little bit late because one of their friends, Toxic Candy...
You beat them there?
I did, because Toxic Candy was getting ready, because Toxic Candy was competing in the craftsmanship competition as... Okay. It's the pink-haired thing from Sonic.
Amy Rose?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
She was competing as a homemade Amy Rose. She looks phenomenal. Oh, nice. She was so cool.
Did she do the hammer? Okay.
No, she didn't.
I'm just curious. She don't always have the hammer.
She don't always have the hammer. So while I'm waiting for her and them, because it was going to be Toxic Candy and their husband, I go through the dealer's hall, and this is when I'm struck with a reminder of the number one thing I've learned about Otakon, which is...
Gigantic dealer's hall, right?
Can't fucking do the dealer's hall in RSL in one day. I skipped giant sections of the dealer's hall.
That makes sense. I mean, look, their dealer's hall, if I'm remembering from last year, was mostly like... A lot of the, you know, like, mass marketed, like stuff.
Yeah, there were some things that I wanted to get a better look at. Like, there were a couple of clothing things. There was a Yuri on Ice jacket that I kind of wanted.
Oh, shit.
But I just couldn't. It was so much going on. They also do the thing where sometimes they have artists in the dealer's hall if the artists are going to have more than one booth. So if the artist has a lot of art, there is one particular artist that I bought a lot of pins from.
Yeah, you said that finally you were able to find pins again. And that
I was finally able to find pins again!
Yeah.
But...
After the drought.
So, the
and
one...
And his pin board was only, like, 3/4 occupied. We need to fix that.
BV Enamel Art is the one seller that was at Otakon and, like, wasn't in the artist alley. I bought a bunch of... I bought a Leafeon pin, I bought some Hecatate pins, I bought some Korok pins and fillers. It was great. I had a great time. Spent a lot of money. We're not going to tell Ryan. Shh.
Wait a minute.
It was my own money.
That's fine. No, it's fine.
And then I then went into the artist alley and walked around, and I got a book wallet that is I've been using a lot.
Oh, yeah, you've been loving the book wallet.
I like the book wallet. I really need to reach out to the artist and ask how to, like, properly get the pins in there, though, because it's kind of clunky to, like, get the pins, because it's just a flappy piece of leather, and so I had to, like, put, like, a piece of foam behind it. I don't know. I'll reach out to her and see what she says, see if there's a better way or if I just fucked up.
Would you say, did it seem pretty similar to its setup last year? Was anything
different? Oh, it was exactly the same.
Exactly the same? Okay.
Yeah, they even had the stage again in the middle of the artist alley.
Oh, okay, nice. Did you see any voice actors that, like, you wanted to talk to? I don't think you did, right?
No.
Okay.
That was a really large goal. I thought you were going to talk for longer than that.
I was asking a question.
I know.
My questions are quick.
I realized that.
Quick. Yeah, no, I don't like winding questions. I like straight questions.
Interesting. But yeah, so I walked the artist alley in the dealer's hall, and then Mocha Pie and Toxic Candy and Toxic Candy's husband meet up with me, and we walk part of the artist alley, and then Mocha Pie becomes encumbered because their Fire Emblem outfit was large and had a very large cape, and so she couldn't walk great, and she's also getting overheated very quickly because while there's AC in the building...
It's not Florida.
She's wearing a very thick dress that's floor length and also a very heavy cloak.
Yeah.
So they go and have a seat. I walk a bit more through Artist Alley. I go meet
Did
up with them.
Did you make it through all of Artist Alley?
You at least brute forced it.
Yeah, okay. You
brute forced it. I probably missed some stuff that I would have liked. But yeah. I think the thing I'm realizing is the things that we're watching are the things that I care about. are a little out of date, and I need to find new modern anime that I like.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I felt that a little bit last year, because if I'm remembering correctly, there was a lot of JJK last year, mm-hmm. and what was the other big one? Like, not Dandadan, but it was...
Frieren.
And
a lot of Kaiju number 8, because that had just come out.
Yes, and everybody was raging about that. And I remember, like, distinctly telling you, I was like, there's, like, not a lot of, like Dragon Ball or One Piece or any of that.
So there was a lot of One Piece this year, at least. Okay, but okay. It's, like, it was kind of that thing of, it's, like, I already have a lot of One Piece stuff, and I'm nervous to get too much more.
That's fair.
I did get a new Skate Pin, and I got a new Sasuke and Mienyo Pin.
Yeah, actually, I like that seller. That seller was great.
Okay, the other one that I like a lot was Milk Q Art. Sorry, their like name on their website is very stylistic, and so I couldn't read it very well. Like, does that look like Milk Q to you?
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's great. Like, their art is phenomenal. I just couldn't read it.
I think Milk?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Milk Art. I don't know. Maybe we go to the bottom.
No, I just hit the web browser. So that was that's how I was able to find it. I just wanted you to see how bad.
Let's see what the contact maybe.
Yeah. But I love them. They're great. They have really cool stuff.
I think it's just nice to hear that there were like pins again, because last year it wasn't super big pin hunting. I know that at Otakon last year we pulled a couple of, I think, sweaters we bought.
I bought a sweater.
Yeah. You bought a sweater, I bought a shirt.
You bought a hat. You bought a bucket hat.
I bought the bucket hat. I love that bucket hat.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff was just like miscellaneous art. I think last year was a big art.
The big thing that I keep getting told by all of the art to watch is a thing called The Summer Haruki Died.
Is that the name of the anime?
Yeah, apparently it's like a BL anime mixed with horror, like body horror.
That doesn't seem your style.
Yeah, it is. I watched a lot of horror. One of my favorite movies is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Do you like body horror?
I like John Carpenter's The Thing.
I like that. But to be honest, like, I mean, there was body horror in there, but it didn't strike me as, like, it seemed more artistic than it was.
That's apparently very much the vibe of this. It's not body horror for the sake of body horror. It's, like, artistic,
not like the Cronenberg
metaphorical
stuff.
Body horror.
You wouldn't like Cronenberg type stuff?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. That, and whenever I think of body horror, that's where I go.
You go Cronenberg?
Yeah, because that, to me, is, like, the weird, goopy, like, gross monsters.
No.
Yeah, no, nah, okay. Or like The Fly with that, what's it called, dude? he's famous, Jurassic Park.
I know his name.
Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum.
There we go. I know if I just stare at you judgmentally long enough, you'll get it.
Yeah, it's just my need to like not be wrong.
I know.
When you look at me. You can be wrong and you're not looking at me.
I know, most people, we walk around, I go to a panel called... what was it? The History of BL, a retrospective.
I saw you took pictures to put it on.
I did. They're great. It was fun. There was a woman at this panel, and she was probably in her 60s.
Oh my god.
And she was Japanese. And she talked about like what it was like being a young girl in Japan trying to get BL and then coming over to the US and still trying to get that. She still reads BL to this day.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's legacy.
It is. It's very cool. They talked about my sexual harassment, which is a weird fucking anime.
That's the name of an anime?
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. Yeah. I like that you got to do a little bit of everything, because you were there for what, like 12 hours?
No, I was there for 11. No, okay. 13. I was there for 13.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like more than half a day.
Yeah, I was there almost the entire day of the con.
Yeah.
We went and watched the entirety of The Masquerade, which went on way longer than I thought it would.
I think it always does.
But I'm bouncing around a bit. So I'm hanging out with Mojipi and them. We wander the floor. We then head out and we go to Nando's. And I didn't tip because...
Oh, shit. You're going to run this one? MJ, like, conceptually will not tip at Nando's.
No, I also won't tip at, like, McDonald's, though.
I don't... Do they take tips at McDonald's?
Yes. They now prompt you for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't tip at Dunkin'.
Like, I don't... I mean, if you're going through a drive-thru at Dunkin', they don't ask, right?
You can. Yeah, it does sometimes.
Oh, they never ask me.
Interesting. It says on the prompt if you, like, hit it.
Oh, no, I guess.
Anyway, no, Nando's is a great restaurant, and it's very good food. The problem that I have is they seat you, and then you order by yourself on a phone screen.
Yeah.
And then...
Like with the QR code, right?
Yeah, and then you have to go get your own drink. And then they do bring your own food for you, but you have to go get your own silverware and your own sauce.
Dude, when they brought the food and they didn't bring us silverware, I was like, where's the silverware? And then I had to like stand up and like walk around and find it. And I'm like, dude, like all this for chicken? Yeah. So, it's good chicken. Like it's that good chicken. That peri peri stuff, delicious. Like,
it's very good.
No doubt.
Just not worth a tip for the thing. And it's also incredibly expensive.
No, it is.
I bought myself like one meal and a drink and it was like $27.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get like a half chicken or a
quarter? No.
Oh.
I got like a wrap.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, bro. I don't know. I go there, I only get the half chicken. I'm going to eat half a chicken.
Anyway, while we were also, I do want to shout out, I saw Steve Makes Cosplays again.
Oh, nice.
I love him so much. He's so kind. He was anonymous. It was actually very funny because I saw him while we were walking and me and him got a selfie together.
We did that, I think, last year too, no?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's actually how we met him. We met him because he was like, oh my God, your Achilles and Patroclus is phenomenal.
Yes, that's right. And it was finally somebody who, like, we were heading back to get changed.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
He gushed over, he finally saw My Fierce Deity, and he gushed over it. He said that it looked really good. And then he's excited to see it sometime in person.
Oh, as in he saw pictures of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And then, what else happened? What else did I do? Oh, so when we were walking back, Mocha Pie saw him, pointed, and yelled really loud, "It's Steve!"
That's so funny. I could picture it too.
Yeah. And then
it's Steven.
So we go back to Mocha Pie's hotel room so that she can change because she's overheating in the Fire Emblem outfit.
You went back to their hotel for a bit?
Yeah, for a minute. Okay. I sat around with them, chat for a bit, used the bathroom, and then I was like, I am gonna go back and get those last two pins that I saw at the artist alley that like I've been meaning to and I forgot to. I'll meet up with you guys for the masquerade. And so I did. This entire time, I want the world to know, I am trying to get Aifeng-san to show the fuck up in the place that I am. But Otakon's, like, ballrooms have no service. So anytime you go into a panel or a meetup, you lose all signal. So I message them, and then I go into a room. And then they go out of a room, and they message me. And then they go into a room, and then I walk out of a room, and then I message them. This went on for 10 hours.
Oh. Man, 10 out of the 13 hours.
Yes.
Did they also end up going to the masquerade in the end or no?
No. They were getting changed into Wooper.
Damn. The Wooper group.
So.
The Whoop group.
So. We go to the masquerade, and the masquerade was fun. I continue to see your point. I will say, so, Toxic Candy competed in the craftsmanship competition, and everyone in the craftsmanship competition looked phenomenal. That being said, people that won the, like, novice division had full-on, like, mech builds. Like, one of them was the Chimera from Frieren, where it's, like, it's that feathery one.
From which one?
From, not Frieren, from Dungeon Meshi.
Oh, yeah, then, yeah, 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 yeah.
But
yeah,
this
yeah,
person yeah. had the back legs of, like, the dragon
right.
attached, and so they walked across stage with that.
Gotcha.
That was in the novice division.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. And it was one of those things of it's like,
power creep is
we talked about this actually in our KineticCon episode. The gems just have the ability to shift you up out of one category and put you into another one,
mm-hmm.
but only vertically. Like, only, like, upward.
Only upward. They won't take you and put you downward.
No.
I see.
Because to be.
Did they ever let you know? They just kind of do it, right?
They just kind of do it because it means you won something.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's a bummer if they, like, scoot you up because, like, for example, like, Ambi Lin got third in the division that she got bumped up to, but she probably would have won in the, like, what was it, novice?
Yeah, it's more of, like, a fairness kind of thing, because as we've talked about, the way that those divisions are divided out is by wins, like, past wins.
Right, but she hadn't had any past wins.
She hadn't, because she had only ever competed in one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, we had talked about it, of... It feels unfair to have it only based on past wins if you have someone who's been sewing for, like, 2 decades going
yeah.
up against someone who's been sewing for, like, a month.
Right, right. I guess.
There is a level of discretion of it's like, this is the category with the discretionary thing of if it is unfair to everyone else in the category, you get bumped up.
Right. I think that the other issue I have with it is just that
I don't think that I can compare a mech to like a, just like a dress, like a very like elaborate Disney princess dress.
I mean, I guess it's the, you know, the judges, they should have that.
Like, I know. I think they should be separate.
I need you to know this is a big argument. I think it's about like, I think you can build a Disney dress poorly and I think you can build a mech poorly.
I think you can. I agree with that. I think that, to be honest, I'm tired of just the visual aspect being the only thing that's like, you know, part of like judging. I want to see if something is like incredibly encumbering. I don't think that that should like win.
And I think that's the problem that a lot of people watching craftsmanship competitions have, which is they see the incredibly encumbering thing and think that it should win. But what you're not seeing is behind the scenes where the judges have to like feel the material and feel like the craftsmanship of it, where they go in scene by scene, like part by part, and like ask how they did it, like what materials were made, like how they chose things. Like that's a big part of like the actual judging. It's just no one sees that.
Sure.
But so we go and watch that, and it was so incredibly loud.
Oh yeah.
But not in the traditional way of it's just like the speakers were too high. Specifically, the bass was so cranked up that like my ears felt fine, my chest didn't.
Oh, that's that brown note shit. You know the Mythbusters that did the brown note?
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, when you, the lower like frequency something is, the more it like affects like, you know, your insides.
Yeah.
Not so much like your head and ears.
I will shout out, there was one group that did a Evolution Cell Block Tango, where they talked about why they killed all of their different trainers.
Oh, okay.
With each of their special attacks.
This was in the masquerade fun. Now.
It was during the masquerade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, cool. So they did the
craftsmanship
before.
What happened was the craftsmanship competition, they did their runway.
Uh-huh.
And then the entirety of the masquerade happened. And then at the end of the masquerade, they called out the winners for the craftsmanship competition.
Damn.
Yeah, which is why we ended up being there so late.
I see. Because I know that. So then, did she win anything?
No.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
But go check out Toxic Candy on Instagram. They're really sweet. I love them a lot.
Yeah, I'm excited to hang out with them more.
Yeah. We're apparently sharing a room with them at Katsu.
Dude, hell yeah.
Because we bullied Ryan into going to Katsu once again.
I know, man. I just, you know, at least it'll be cold. You know, at least I won't be sweating. I become an evil person when I sweat.
Yes, this is...
Because I don't sweat enough. But, like, when I start, oh, man. That means I'm really hot.
But I sit and I'm like, I'm waiting for my friend. I'm waiting for Shota Prince. I'm waiting. And finally, up the steps, I see the Whoops.
The Whoops.
The Whoops are coming.
Dude, you wouldn't have been able to live with yourself. You didn't see
I wouldn't. I was Leafeon. Those are my two. I have three Pokemon that I like and can easily name off the top of my head.
It's crazy because they increase in like competitive viability from Whoop at the bottom to then Leafeon and then fucking Giratina.
Yeah, I like the God of Death. He's kind of cool.
That's crazy.
It's just neat. I like how every time he shows up in a movie, they kind of beat his ass for no reason.
Yeah, they got a power skill, you know.
Oh, poor God of Death.
He always has to go up against the God of Creation.
So I chill with Shota and their friend who made Hop, made all the Leafeons and Mokopi and Toxicandy, and we stand around and we chit chat for like maybe 35 minutes. And then I realize it's 10:30.
You had to leave.
And I had to leave. But Toxicandy and their husband went back to their hotel real fast so she could change. Because the Amy cosplay was getting cumbersome and they were going to go to bed basically right after I left.
That's fair, because they still had
Sunday. I was waiting for them to come back to walk me back to my car. Because what would have ended up happening is if just Mokopi had walked me back to my car, then Mokopi would be left to walk back alone.
Yeah, then it's just
it's
one
the,
person.
It's
there.
The, not the trolley, it's the raft problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Two chickens cannot ride with one fox, but one fox cannot be left alone with a chicken. Yeah, you know, that thing.
Yeah, sure.
So we wait for them to get back. Once they get back, we leave, and I get, like, the weirdest interview ever of all time. We leave the convention center, and just some people with a camera are like, hey, do you want to be interviewed? I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, who do you think cheats more, men or women? And I'm like...
Oh, dude, you got fucking street interviewed. Yeah. That's like the new thing now, you know, and like under like the, you know, in our God's glorious 2025, problematic men run around on the street.
And it was a woman. A man did stop me, but the person with the microphone interviewing me was a woman.
That's crazy work. So yeah. I don't know. And then they pull you over and then they ask you like a controversial question. And like, if you gave like an answer that they can like easily debunk, you'll be featured on their little podcast or street TikTok
show. Yeah, I gave them the answer that physically men cheat more often, but the probability of cheating is equal between the two genders.
What did they say?
And they were like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, well, I studied to be a psychologist. Like, I looked into relationships.
You're not going
to
be on that podcast. No. Not at all. They wanted you to say something inflammatory. That's the only way you get on there. And they're like, what? No, that's not how that works. Equality. And it's, oh my God.
They also asked me what I'd be canceled for. And I was like, I don't know if I really have anything that would, like, cancel me. I read a lot of fan fiction, probably. Like, kind of with no regard to, like...
To be fair, though...
Do I have a cancelable thing?
No. Are you asking me honestly?
Yeah. Like, what can I be canceled for?
Not tipping at Nando's.
No, like, genuinely.
I don't know. People probably feel strongly about this. I don't
probably.
Know.
That'll be the poll. Would you tip at Nando's? But yeah, so I get back to... So we get them, and then we realize that they were all going to go to dinner, so I just drive them and drop them off at dinner. And then I drive home. But, Ryan, I'm going to be honest. I don't think... I'm particularly reckless with, like, I know what my limits are a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how far I can run. I know how much I can lift. I know how long I can, like, stay awake and stuff like that. That drive, I think, pushed me to the brink of, like, recklessness that I don't think I should ever repeat again in my life.
Yeah, because you were way too tired, right?
I was so tired. I got... Yeah, you so called I got me. Out of the city at about, like, 10:40. And I stop at a Sheetz to get, like, dinner. Because mm-hmm. The last time I had eaten was Nando's at, like, noon.
Right.
Or 1 o'clock, and so it's been.
I want to clarify. I'm glad that I did not know this.
Yeah. So I stop. I get a Coke. I get some food. I put back on my podcast about a true bastard of all history, and I start my drive. And I'm driving, and genuinely, do not feel safe.
That sucks.
I started driving, and I was like, no, I think I'm gonna be fine. Like, I think it'll be okay. And then by like midnight, I was like, no, this is bad.
So now here's, I guess, to make this like a learning experience, what would you tell people who commute to cons and are stuck out there?
I would say if you are commuting to a con and you don't feel safe driving home, find the nearest parking lot, like the nearest gas station, pull over where you can, whether it's the side of the road or anything, and just like take like a 30-minute nap.
You got, and I think that that's a valid thing to say because you have to think about it like this, truck drivers do that.
Truck drivers do it. A lot of, like, Loves on and Flying J's
they have freaking like, showers in there.
Yeah, they have places where you can, like, stop and sleep, like, get some rest, because even 30 minutes of rest is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, you are so much more of a risk driving tired.
Than even drunk.
Than drunk most of the time. Like, you have to be incredibly intoxicated to, like, be a risk. You have to be just a little bit tired. The amount that your reflexes slow down and you become, like, drowsy is comically dangerous. So, if you feel like you can't, like, if you were at where I was at, where there was nothing anywhere, call someone, have them talk with you on the phone. That's not just for, like, to help you stay awake, like, conversation can help you wake back up. But also because if you do wreck, someone's on the phone with you.
Brother.
And so I called one of my great friends, Logan, out in California, partially because he's out in California.
You also did call me for a little bit, but I was like,
You were hanging out with people at like a club. Like,
I was literally at like a club and I couldn't hear anything you said. And I was like, man, this sucks. I'm sorry, MJ. Please call somebody in California.
Yeah, we have a couple friends out in California and Arizona. And so I called them, chat with them. I got home safe. I did. I let the dogs out and I was in bed within 10 minutes of getting home. Like I was asleep.
Makes sense.
I luckily, when we got to my car, I took out my contacts, I put on my glasses, I took off my Leafeon cosplay, put on my sweats and my hoodie.
Oh, dude, you had much more like wherewithal than I thought.
And I took off my makeup. I have the knowledge of like once I get home, I will not be able to do anything. Dogs did miss me a lot though. They were very lovey-dovey, and they slept not on the bed but on the foot of the bed.
That makes sense. Yeah, they needed.
But that being said, Yor did sleep on the bed with me.
Bro, that makes sense though.
He's a little baby. But that was my Otakon.
How would you rate it?
Rate it out of our enamel pin scale. I would say 4.
Four, solid same four. As, same as Kineticon?
Yeah. I think the thing that I've realized is, because I'm reading it a four for what I imagined it could be. Of my experience, it was a three. Mm-hmm. Because I'm realizing how much I missed out on in trying. Like, there were so many panels I wanted to go to that I couldn't, because it meant that I wouldn't have had time to do the Artist Alley.
It's a big panel con.
It is. It's also that's a big Artist Alley.
That's why I think it's a good Friday Artist Alley.
Yeah, Friday Artist Alley, Saturday and Sunday is just panels and events.
Yeah.
But that's been my Otakon review. This went way longer than it was supposed to.
It was supposed to be 20 Sorry. Minutes. I'm going to have to cut it.
Oh, shit. Less than an hour.
I'm surprised. It's like, what, 55 minutes?
It's 50.
This has been Cosplay Conference, a podcast that was supposed to be quicker today than it normally is, but Ryan will edit it nonetheless. MJ, why don't you tell them about the other wonderful... wonderful podcast on our network.
Cosplay Con Crunch is a member of the Roctopus Network of Podcasts. Another great podcast is Halloween Nation. As we creep into October and time for the autumn fall, get ready to be spooked and spooky with the great Joshua on Halloween Nation. They release an episode monthly, and then they release an episode weekly during October. They have a good backlog. Go ahead and listen to all different kinds of stuff when it comes to Halloween decorations, spirits, myth, legends, lore, the glory. You can find me as cosplay_Cajun on Instagram and TikTok.
You can't find me on TikTok, but I am Right Joy-Con Rye.
And you can find the podcast on Instagram and TikTok as cosplay_ConCrunch.
We are consistent with our labels.
Sometimes. Have a great one. See you next time.